Ask Somerset's Plants is a new commission for the Somerset Art Weeks Festival 2019.
Hello, my name is Marcus Coates and I'm an artist.
And I'm Fiona MacDonald and I work as an artist under the name of Feral Practice.
And we're here in Somerset embarking on our new project called Ask Somerset's Plants.
And that is an extension of a project called Ask the Wild, and it looks at human problems really, personal and problems in society, and instead of seeking answers to those questions in our own resources, we want to look outside the human and towards different species or different habitats. So in Somerset we are looking at plants and at three very different, rather special habitats. So we're going to be visiting the woodlands and the gorge around Cheddar, and we're going to be on the Somerset Levels in Shatwick Heath and West Sedgemoor, and then we're going to the Quantock Hills. And in each site we'd be joined by local plant experts who are going to guide us and help us to access some of the wisdom and knowledge of the plants.
So obviously plants can't speak, so that's why we have the plant experts with us to interpret different aspects of plant life, really looking at the culture of plants and how that can inform us in terms of our cultural issues and the problems we face.
There's something about how different plants are that might be really useful. So they can't walk away, so they have to find different strategies for making the worlds that they inhabit work for them.
And by doing this project, we're really asking what we can learn from nature. How can nature teach us?
We're here in Cheddar Gorge, and we're here with Liz MacDonald.
Hello.
Who is our guide and expert. She's a field botanist from the Somerset Rare Plant Group. Okay, so I'm going to read out the first question. And this is from Guinevere King. And the question is, how do I accept my uniqueness without berating myself for being so different to everyone else?
Do you think in a way the question is meaning strangeness?
Yeah.
Because we are all unique.
We're all unique, literally. I suppose some of us are more conventional than others, one might say. So we need to think about this in terms of unique plants and maybe whether there's any plants in this habitat that have a particular, are a little bit strange or a bit different from everyone else.
We'll see if we can find a strange plant to fit the bill.
Okay, well, should we walk along? Let's and walk along. We can have a think about it. When I was here for the walk in April, mm-hmm. We saw a plant called autumn crocus.
Yes,
that was new to me, doesn't grow near where I live. It's a sort of similar colour to a rhododendron, isn't it? And you know, sometimes you get a flower on the ground and you think it's dropped there. And these are not, obviously, they're coming straight up from the soil, but they do look really out of place, bizarre.
Yes, they do look out of place.
Yeah.
Well, it's an unusual plant in as far as it has two stages of life. And the leaves come out very early in the spring. And then they die away before the flowers have come out. So there's a period where the leaves have disappeared, and then later on, when the conditions are right, a flower will appear on its own, and that's why it's called Naked Ladies. So it has two stages of life, and you may not relate the flower to the leaves because you don't see them at the same time. So that's really rather unusual.
So what do you think this can tell us about being unique, standing out?
As an ecology deepens and becomes more established, you get an increase of species. So it could be a really good sign of a strong society or a strong ecology to have the odd peculiarity around and support and, you know, celebrate that uniqueness. What would you say, Liz?
Yes, the wider variety in a habitat, the richer it is. So each one of those individuals is really important. As botanists, we're always looking for the rich habitats where there's a huge variety or a large variety of plants.
The ecology would be very much impoverished if we were too similar.
So we're here at the bottom of the gorge now, and we're still pondering this question. Do you want to repeat it, Fiona?
Yeah, the question is, how do I accept my uniqueness without berating myself for being so different to everyone else?
Well, we've come to see this very special and unique plant. Liz, do you want to tell us what we're sitting in front of?
Well, we're sitting in front of a tree. This is a white beam, and it's the cheddar white beam. And it's quite unique because it only grows in Cheddar. And there are very few of these trees, and very few people can recognise them. You need a specialist, like Libby Houston, who discovered these trees. It's called Sorbus cheddarensis. So its Latin name reflects its position, and it doesn't grow anywhere else in Britain or the world.
It's quite an interesting species to talk about, this issue of uniqueness, in a way, because it's actually really hard to tell. So only an expert will know that this particular white beam is so very unusual, very rare. And perhaps that's a sort of not dissimilar to people sometimes. Sometimes our rare qualities are not so on view.
I think we imagine our uniqueness is very obvious to people. And in a way, the question talks about the need to blend in and not to be seen as so unique.
Yeah.
But I think there is a sense that perhaps the white beam's telling us in a way here that sometimes it's very difficult to see people's uniqueness, even if they feel like it's very obvious and clear.
It's such an unusual place. You know, these extraordinary limestone cliffs.
It's our Grand Canyon.
It is. Okay, so we've got an anonymous question. In earlier days, when I had no money, I thought having some would be enough to keep me happy. Now I have money, property, and good fortune. I am extremely happy, but I still seek to add to my assets in the late summer of my life. What is it about the human species that keeps us striving?
Well, it's all species are striving, aren't they? Striving to reproduce and survive. It's a drive we all have. It's not unique to humans, no?
It isn't. Obviously, we've abstracted our needs into this peculiar paper or digital stuff money. But there's ways that animals and plants store food and resources in the way that we might store money.
Sounds like it's more about acquiring more than you need. Is there anything in the plant world which might have a parallel to that?
Well, bulbs come to mind because plants produce the energy that they need. And some of that is stored in terms of a bulb underground.
And they all store up the energy and the nutrients in these bulbs?
Yeah, they do. So it's their assets that they've laid down in the summer and they're sitting on in the winter, and then they use it in the spring to form new life.
And do plants ever store more than they need? The questioner's sort of talking about they know they've got enough to see them all the way through to their own demise, but they can't stop.
Well, plants don't necessarily know what the conditions are going to be next year. So some plants will store sufficient for years.
A bit like us saving for a rainy day.
Reaping while the sun shines, making the most of the situation at the time because of uncertain future. Do you think that's kind of part of the drive of the human spirit? This sense that the future is unknown to us.
Sure. I think probably so much of human culture is designed to minimise risk. All sorts of things that we do as humans are there to keep us safe, really, from the unknown, aren't they?
It looks like there's maybe 6 mature trees growing pretty much in the same place. So this is all one organism. This is all one...
Yes.
One
yes.
tree.
One
That's
tree.
Extraordinary.
This is all connected. This is one tree, and it's got many trunks coming from the base and a vast canopy of leaves. So you can imagine the huge amount of light that's been captured by all those leaves. It's a very large area. spreading right down into the field.
And its root system must be vast as well.
It will be very large, yes.
So the canopy, all of these many hundreds of thousands of leaves, are the energy production system for the tree. And then the roots are like the energy storage system. Ancient trees in particular are really amazing resources for all sorts of other species.
Well, lime produces flowers, and they're very sweet. So the lot of insects will come for the nectar.
They've got lots of moth species that the caterpillars depend on, including, and I'm reading this because this isn't something I know by heart, limehawk, peppered, vaporer, triangle, and scarce hook-tip moths.
And how do you think that relates to the question?
In terms of the questioner's increasing age, they don't talk about whether they have dependents, but one could say that one's dependents and one's wider community are similar to those species associations. So there's just ways in which what we acquire, maybe not just in literal money terms, but in terms of our knowledge and what we have to give to those beyond ourselves, increases as we age.
The question itself sounds quite individualistic in that it's the questioner's storing or acquiring money when they don't perhaps need it. But maybe if we look at the culture of this woodland and what trees are doing, there's a more altruistic sense here.
At least, you know, it's a reciprocal system. You can't isolate the riches, and maybe that's good advice for the questioner. So there's a sense that perhaps instead of the striving being about riches beyond that which you can really enjoy, there's opportunities to share them. We're sitting in the shade of a hazel tree, quite near the top now of Cheddar Gorge, and we're going to look at a question from Penny Elphick. She asks, fleeting ideas are often the most creative, but how to capture them and make them stand still? That is the question.
So the attempt to capture something that's in the moment or very transient or very temporary?
Opportunities. I suppose ideas as moments of opportunity and how you might make them grow.
Or capitalise on them.
If they're fleeting, maybe they're sort of moving quite quickly past you, like a pollinator might, like a bee might.
Yeah, okay. All right, so should we carry on walking and see what we come across?
Well, I've just come across the plant that we've seen today. It's a common woodland plant. It's common in gardens and waysides. This is wood avens, or another name for it is Herb Bennett. And I've been told that the name, the Herb Bennett, refers to Herba Benedicta, and that used to be a special herb to bring into your house to bring you good luck. It's a strange little plant. It's really common. It's got little yellow petals, but it's an insignificant plant. But when it's in fruit, it's got amazing fruits. It's got a head of seeds, and each one is covered in hairs, but there's a really long point that is bent into a little hook. And so this plant is waiting to be dispersed, and it's got hooks on it so that it can attach itself to animals. So if a badger is going by or a sheep, it can attach itself to the animal's body and be taken away to be germinated somewhere else. So this has got a travel pass in the way of a hook on the end of each seed.
And the opportunity for that plant to disperse itself is incredibly fleeting. I mean,
yeah,
it's the chance that an animal happens to be going by.
Yeah.
And it's basically, through evolutionary adaptation, created these hooks so it can totally capitalise on that very fleeting moment.
Mm. It makes me think of the kind of practices that creative people put in place so that they might capture that fleeting
opportunity.
Those fleeting opportunities, yeah. So in the plant's case, it's the growing of Velcro-like hooks to attach to fur. And in our case, it might be a practice of writing or a practice of drawing or a practice of something that sort of creates the conditions.
Absolutely, yes. being open to opportunities so that when something does come along, you can grab it and make something of it.
And its opportunity, realistically, might never come along.
Exactly.
I mean, it's invested an enormous amount in creating these quite elaborate hooks around its body, but it might never ever fulfil its purpose.
No, it may not. There may never be a badger passing by at the right time when the seeds are ready to fall off the fruiting body.
So maybe there's a lesson there that you have to actually enjoy and be fulfilled by preparing the ground.